so summer, isn't it? Who's enjoying the sunshine? Yay! Hard to believe that wasn't that long ago we were complaining about the rain. Does you remember that? It's only like 50 days ago we were like, it's never going to stop raining. And it did. Now, if you're a farmer like me, you're just praying for rain. I know when you can attach to the land, you get very sensitive about the conditions. And I think that's why you can never keep a farmer happy. It's either too hot, too dry, or too wet, too windy. It's never perfect. And if it ever does get perfect, it never stays that way. It's life, though, isn't it like that? We often pray for the right conditions so that we can do something that we really want to do, or we can, we're just waiting for everything to fall into place, for everything to be just right before we do anything. But just right never really seems to happen all that often. And if we are always, waiting for just right, we don't actually get round to doing much. So often we can just strive for a perfect life in an imperfect world full of imperfect people and wonder why we get so frustrated. As part of our vision of a holy community, we want to be a place where, despite our differences, we choose to be one, where we would dare to be vulnerable, open, and accessible. We want this to be a place where we make room for questions, room for fear and failure, a place where we acknowledge that life is complicated and at times so hard and unfair and often imperfect, but that our Father in heaven is good, he is just, and we are his. We want to acknowledge that because we are a holy community, we're going to make room for the Holy Spirit to do his fine work in and amongst us. We want to allow him to be our guide, our comfort, our counselor, so that his glory can be revealed in our life. Because I think it's in our imperfect that God's glorious perfection can be revealed. Or as Paul put it, in my weakness, his strength is perfect. I think, knowing that it's God and his love that has brought us together makes all the difference. Because, we're not a perfect church. I think we are, but some would say we're not. We may not be perfect, but we're an obedient church that we trust God and we step out in faith and trusting him. I think that's what makes the difference. Because if we waited for things to be perfect in life, if we waited for ourselves to be totally prepared, we would never do anything or go anywhere, would we? It's like having a baby. I remember when we first married, thinking about having a baby. You'd probably already made up your mind it was time to have a baby. But for me, it was, there was so much I wanted to get ready and prepared to have the baby first that if I was still waiting for all my right conditions to be met, I would still be waiting. But that's like that. Does anyone else ever like that think it's never a right time? It's never a right time to have a baby. They just come when it's time. Good thing is we have 9 months to get ourselves ready. But if we put things off, things would never happen. Obviously, there are seasons in life where we should do certain things because it's the right season and time to do them. But outside of that, often there's very little control over life, isn't there? A lot of things we have no control over. And you see, when it came time for Mary to give birth to her son, Jesus Christ, it was true for her too. If we open your book, the Bible, to Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. So we read that Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped them in cloths and placed them in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now, I think it was last year that Neville preached on this passage, and he pointed out there was no room for Joseph and Mary, because it wasn't that there was no hotels available to them, because this is where Joseph's family lived. And there was no room in any of Joseph's family house for Joseph and his pregnant pledged to be wife, because he'd brought shame on the family by having a pregnant, unmarried wife. And just shows you that the arrival of the King of Kings was not exempt from a lot of the circumstances that we face in today's world, is it? Because when we hear the story of Christmas and we see all that went on when Christ was born, when he came into our world to be our Emmanuel, our God with us, there's so much normal stuff going on in the background. The census, we do those, don't we? Shepherds shepherding, they still do that. You know, there's an army occupying. I think that still happens around some parts of the world these days. And Mary and Joseph just being rejected by the family because they brought shame on them. And yet, within the ordinary workings of life, the supernatural forces of heaven are revealed. Are revealed when the angels show up rather spectacularly outside of Bethlehem to the shepherds. You know, they're revealed when an old priest prophesies in the temple, or when a star turns up in the night sky. Does anyone else find it odd how God coordinates so precisely what is happening in our world with his wonderful plan? Amazing how he does that. You know, the light from the star would have taken a long time to get to Earth. So you think about how far in advance God's planned this. Even if it was a meteor or one of those asteroid things, that takes a long time to get through space to get here anyway. So there's a lot of things going on that God has put into motion long before. And I think often we take for granted our circumstances. How often do we look around us, look at the people that God has put in our life, and look at those things that really challenge us sometimes? You know, some things we can control, but just in case you didn't realize it, there's so much of life we can't. I think that's why I love the prophetic voice, because it reveals God at work within his creation. You know, those moments where you find ourselves in those really hard circumstances, I'm sure we all have them, whether it's financial, relational, all the stuff going on in our life. You know, we can cry out. If it's not physically, I think sometimes emotionally in our hearts, we're like, God, where are you in all of this? This is so unfair. This hurts so much. Just get me out of here, or get me through here. It's in those moments when someone who knows nothing of our journey, but being led by the Holy Spirit, and they just bring a word that confirms that God is indeed listening, that he is watching, that he's not like the Bette Midler song. He's not watching us from a distance. From a distance, God is watching. He's not. Unfortunately, he's not watching us. Fortunately, he's right here with us. And not only does he see and hear what we're going through, but he's working his purposes, overcoming the evil of this world through his divine goodness in our life. You know, this time of year can sometimes be a reminder to us of just how imperfect our world really is. You know, we can be reminded of our loss. You know, those people that are no longer here to share this journey with us. You know, we know sometimes there's going to be a lot of disappointments come Christmas Day. There's going to be a lot of stressed out people yelling at each other. Awkward family moments. Has anyone ever had those? You know, the traffic jams, the shopping queues, that wonderful perfect scene painted by Silent Night, Holy Night, where everything is calm and peaceful and the baby sleeping, seems so radically different from the chaos that we're actually experiencing here and what we see around us. But how amazing is it that what better a time to highlight the message of peace on earth? What better time can we, as followers of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, reflect his nature and his way to the world around us? because it's really good together in the name of Jesus, isn't it? But I think taking that outside of Sunday is so awesome and so vital that we do that, because it's there that our faith is really tested, isn't it? When things don't look good, when someone's really annoying you and you're really stressed and tired, or when we're the odd one out, being happy and cheerful, when no one else seems to be. I think in those moments, just spare a thought for Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph didn't ask for any of the stuff that was put on them, and they had very little control over it. And yet all they could do was either trust God and follow him or not. I'm so glad that Joseph had the guts to stand up against tradition and vouch for Mary. I'm glad that Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled." Because things did not look ideal for Mary and Joseph, did they? It wasn't going to be the wedding that they'd hoped for. That was not going to quite happen. Hardly any of the family would probably turn up. They weren't going to have the life that they maybe thought was going to happen. But God was at work bringing redemption to his creation, because it was the right season. And even though it didn't look like it, the right circumstances had brought Jesus to the right place at the right time to be born in the place that God had chosen for him. All God needed was people just to say yes to him, people who would trust him and have faith in him. And not much has actually changed in that regard. The kingdom of God still marches on when people of God say yes to him, even when it messes with our wonderful plans for our life. You know, it's manifested in our world through ordinary people of all ages who are willing to say, "Yes, God, I am your servant. May your word be fulfilled to me." And you know what? You know, where we begin our life doesn't have to determine how we're going to live our life. We don't need to be perfect for God to love us. And to be honest, I think God has a different view of perfection to what we would imagine it would be. Because where we start off, you know, what other people or what our current situation is, whether it's our job situation, our housing situation, what government decisions are happening, the influences of our world on our life and things that are being done to us, they are not the determining factor of who we are going to be in this life. Because we have a choice. You know, it's only natural that we mourn, isn't it? It's a great gift from God that we're able to grieve. It's only natural that we get frustrated when we can't do what we want to do when we want to do it. It's only natural to get angry when someone else has hurt us or offended us. But the good news is we don't have to live our life in that place. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, talking about Christ coming into our world, he says, "When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." I love that. Jesus was born into this world, our world, as a human being, so that we could be born again by the Spirit into his. Our God is an Abba Father. He's not an absent father. He's not a distant father. He's a loving father. Abba, one who cares and nurtures and is close, who wants to encourage his children. He's there to help us do up the zip. And he's amazing. You know, when I began my journey of faith with my God, my life was pretty hopeless. And for a long time, you know, you live without hope. You know, it's pretty soul-destroying. When you suddenly get hope renewed in your life, everything changes. For the first time in a long time, I found I could actually choose something different. That I didn't have to be a slave anymore. And each step, no matter how big or how small, that I've taken in trusting God, I found that He's supported me every single step of the way. And whether it was through those people He'd brought around me, the prophetic words spoken over me, or even sometimes those really painful times of preparation that have miraculously equipped me for that next step, I have known the love of a Father who is for me. And that in everything He's working for my benefit. Because not only is He for us, but He invites us to work with Him in what He's doing. I know for me as a young son, working alongside my dad was one of the coolest things. I think I have photos of all my kids pushing, those little plastic lawnmowers? Well, I'm pushing the big one with earmuffs on. They had earmuffs on. It's held your dad. And, you know, makes you real proud as a dad when you see your kids just want to do what you're doing. And as a kid, there's nothing cooler than working alongside your father. And this is what God wants for all of us. You know, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah His plan for redemption. And it's Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 4, the year of the Lord's favor. And these are the words Jesus spoke when He stood up in the temple in His first message. And He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness from the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I think that might be good if we all say that together. What do you reckon? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Well, then you got the vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I love it. God sent His Son Jesus to bring healing, to bring hope, and to help us all see that God really is for us. Because His plan is for renewal, restoration, and rebuilding. And He wants to use us all, irrespective of how we got here and what He's doing. We are those people who seek to see the kingdom of God come and His will done here on earth as it is in heaven. We, the church, carry the prophetic word of God into our world. We declare it through our transformed lives. We declare it through acts of love and service. We declare it when we are obedient to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because our past doesn't define our future, and neither do our mistakes or other people's mistakes. We are those who believe that the ruins can be restored, that old wells can bring forth new water. And even in our mourning, we can find a joy and a hope of tomorrow where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. You know, we've been created for a purpose. We've been given a divine assignment ever since God made man in His image. And to put it simply as possible, we're made to worship God. Because it's when we worship God that we reflect Him truthfully to the world around us. when we worship Him, and in worshiping Him, we are transformed. And when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment in all the law? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else hinges on those two things. And in saying this, Jesus describes perfectly how we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. This is how we adore Him. And this, it was this life of worship that Jesus modeled with His life. It was in every lesson that He taught. And when the time came that He was called upon to offer up His life for the sins of this world, you know, that time when He would be raised up and call a people to Himself, calling us back from our idol worship, our vanity, our slavery to those things that we worship that aren't God, calling us all to a freedom that we were designed for, calling us all back to the arms of a loving Father. See, when Jesus knelt down in the garden and He prayed to His Abba Father, we see what love really looks like. When He's torn by the weight of what He's about to do. And we read in Luke 22, 42, Jesus cries out, Father, if You are willing, take this cup from Me. Yet not My will, but Yours be done. I could just ask the ushers just to, if you could just hand distribute the emblems. And the worship team, if you guys could just come up while they're doing that, just to make an easy, smooth transition. These emblems that you're about to receive represent the new covenant God has made with us through His Son, Jesus Christ. A covenant that is in accordance with God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we read in Matthew 26, verse 26. When they were gathered in the Last Supper, and all the disciples around Him, Jesus took the bread, and He broke it. And He said, take and eat. This is My body. Then He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, I don't think anyone at the table realized what it meant for Jesus to give thanks for that cup. And after giving thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I think the true significance of that cup, represented in the cup that you now hold in your hand, is what Christmas is all about. The message is clear. We are forgiven. The perfect has been given for the imperfect. And I know it was not an easy thing for God to take up His side of the deal, because I think there's so much more to it than we will ever know. And in many ways, in doing what He's done, He's actually put His faith in us. Because He knows we can do it. He knows we can overcome the evil of this world, because He's promised to do it with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Because God is not watching us from a distance. He is right here, right now. So my prayer this morning is that we would let the light shine in the darkness. We would let love conquer hate. Because that is when the prophetic voice of God's church, the church of Jesus Christ, is loudest, when we challenge the world around us. We may not be the perfect church, but we have a pretty awesome God and some pretty special people. And that's all of you guys, in case you didn't realize. And that in the midst of all our imperfect, God is working. You can often put off things waiting for the right time. And it may never seem like the right time to get ourselves right with God or right with our neighbor. It might be something we always want to leave till tomorrow, when maybe things will be different. But can I challenge you to make peace today? Because just as Christ has forgiven us, he calls us to forgive others. And I know that if we take that first step and we trust God, that he will meet us there. It's like that song, Oceans. Sometimes that step for forgiveness is like stepping out into the deepest ocean. But God will meet us there. He'll do it today and he'll do it tomorrow. So let's just take a moment to allow the Spirit of God to minister to us. Lord, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for your body. That because it was broken, we can be a part of you. And because your blood was shed, we can be perfect in your eyes. So Lord, we thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Pray, Holy Spirit, you'd give us the strength and the courage to be the people that you're calling us to be. Let us be bearers of your peace, speakers of your love, that the whole world would know what a wonderful God you are. Thank you that you meet with us right now. Lord, forgive us. And help us to forgive others for your glory. And in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's just eat and drink together.